Utah Jazz tested positive for coronavirus.
What does this mean?
Togetherness is such a blessing in our lives, and that's why I'm so excited about the series that we are in. Diana and I are thrilled to be back. We had 2 weeks when we went to Colorado where we were able to be together with some of those dear friends that we've had across the years in just an incredible time, but it's always good to be back home. And speaking of great friends, it's good to introduce to you some folks that really need no introduction, Andrew and Eva Self, who are our speakers today. If you would give them a warm welcome as they come. They are dear friends and deeply committed followers of Jesus and great servants in the church. They're one of our elder couples, small group leaders, capable communicators, and we are so blessed to have them in our church family. They're going to continue on this theme that we're sharing on what it takes to be together, and today is gratitude. That's the topic that we're going to be talking about today. And listen, I am so grateful for you guys being here and sharing with us. You see what I did there? Yeah, just trying to help you out. So
he's good.
Isn't you guys he? Take it. Yeah. You guys take it.
Maybe he'll come back next week. We sure hope so. All right. Good morning. Welcome. It's good to be with you all this morning. And I want to tell you, it's good to be with you. I mean, it is really good for us to be with you because one of us almost didn't make it this morning. Now, Eva's a little bit unsure whether I should tell this story or not, which means green light. We're going with it. Okay. So here we go. We were leaving just our neighborhood this morning, just pulling out just like usual, talking about the weather, whatever, this kind of thing. Eva was putting her makeup on. I don't know if anybody else has ever done that. My mom used to do that, put her makeup on the way to church, and Eva does that every once in a while too. Well, when she's putting her makeup on with both hands, she's not able to hold on. Just let me explain that. Eva has a van that she drives. When she drives her van, she gets out of her wheelchair into the car seat, which turns around and moves all different ways, and she drives it. But when we come together, I drive. So she just sits in the back. We've got a van. They took out the middle row of seats, if you will, so that's just an open area. So she's sitting back there putting her makeup on. We're talking about the weather, whatever. And I turn off of her away onto Fairfax, and the next thing I know, I hear this big thud. I turn around and look, and it's like my wife is going in slow motion backwards, just like this. Her two front wheels are off the ground. Her back wheels are going. And I'm thinking, I've got to do something, you know. So what, we break into Barney Fife here. You got to do something, right? So I turn around and grab the front, and I pulled it down, thinking that was the appropriate action. Maybe not. So I pull it down. The next thing you know, it looks like my wife's about to go through the windshield. She didn't. Okay? She didn't go through the windshield. The makeup, the lipstick stuck in the windshield. But other than that, we're okay. So we're glad to be here. Eva was a little unsure that maybe some of you would think whatever about that, but this is one tough woman right here. She's a lot tougher than I am. She can handle, and to be honest with you, that's our life, and it has been for 30 years, and we wouldn't trade with anybody for anything, so we're just very blessed in that regard.
I was too traumatized to reapply before I got up here, but
that
was not the icebreaker that I was going for.
Nope, that's just real life, just really happened, and I just thought we needed to share because that's how we roll, right? So anyway, as Kevin said, Eva Self, Andrew, her husband, we're not pastors, we're not preachers, we're members. We usually sit right down here with a lot of really cool, neat people during this service, but today we have the privilege to be up here, and we are glad to be here. We have an awesome small group that we are privileged to be a part of, and we love our church. We love New Work Fellowship, so we're glad to be here. We're glad you're here today, too. Whether you come all the time, whether it's your first time, whether you're in the room with us or whether you're watching online, we are glad that you are here today, and we want you to feel welcome.
And if you're part of this service, whether, as Andrew said, whether you're in the room or online, we'd like to ask you to use the QR code. If you want to scan that, then that will lead you to the sermon guide and also a Connect card. We ask everybody to fill that out. Every week we do this. But if this is your first or second time filling that out, then we are going to give $10 to one of our ministry partners in your honor. So we hope that you'll do that today.
Yes, thank you. All right, so as Kevin said, as Therese said in the announcements earlier, we're going to continue our series this morning entitled Together, and this morning we're going to talk about and we're going to think about this concept of gratitude, of being thankful. Eve and I have been blessed with two wonderful daughters, Abby and Audrey, and from the time that they were born, one of the things that we wanted to instill in them, that we tried to instill in them, was respect for others. Corey did a great job last week talking about respect, and we're not going to get into that again. But one of the ways that we tried to instill respect in our daughters was simply by teaching them what many of us would consider to be good manners. To say please when you're asking for something. To say yes, sir, and no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And to say thank you when somebody does something for you or if somebody gives you something. Being thankful, we believe, is important. Being thankful is important. Now, I have to tell you, we didn't do it alone. We tried to be consistent. We think we're very committed to it, but we had some help. And, you know, I'm not talking about grandparents and family and friends and Sunday school teachers and Awana leaders and GA leaders and public school teachers and coaches and dance instructors. They all helped too, right? But we actually used kind of an outside resource also in this effort. And when I say an outside resource, I mean we relied somewhat on the teachings and influences and principles of a secular philosopher. Some of you may be familiar with him. Professionally, he goes by the name Barney. Perhaps you've heard of him. Now, let me just say this. You've got to have some pretty serious cachet to be known professionally by just one name, right? I mean, you got Elvis, Madonna, Prince, Barney. Now, I don't know that he's written too many books, but he does have some really cool videos. You may have to find a VCR player to watch him, but it'd be well worth the effort, I promise you. And he also has some really cool songs, one of which is about saying please and thank you.
There are lots of things we can do to be nice. Sometimes they're hard to remember. But there are two little things you should never forget. From January through December.
He's talking about please and thank you. They're called the magic words.
There you go, please and thank you. They're called the magic words. At least they were at our house in the 1990s and the early 2000s, and really they still are today. But over the years, we have learned that not everybody thinks about saying thank you quite the way we do.
No, and sometimes, you know, when we're talking about our children, we have to prod them and just kind of remind them, and sometimes we need to be reminded. But I do remember... The neighborhood that our kids grew up in was off of Alumni Avenue. There were a lot of other kids there in the neighborhood, so they were always outside playing. And one afternoon, I looked out in our backyard, and we have a stone wall that would separate our yard from our neighbor's yard. And I look out there, and there is one of our neighbor dads, and he's with his two boys, and they're picking up the stones. Because on each side of that rock wall was like a fire pit there, and our fire pit had been like destroyed. I mean, just all over the place. So he's out there with them, getting them to stack up the rocks. So I go out and ask him what was going on. He said, "Oh, they tore this up, and so I'm getting them to fix it." And so they're picking up rocks, and he calls them over, two little boys, and he says, "Hey, boys, come on, come over here, come over here." He said, Tell myself, what do you tell her? What do you tell her? And they said, thank you. He said, no, you don't tear somebody's stuff up and then say thank you. What do you say? And they said, sorry. So they were trying to learn when to say thank you. Just about any time's appropriate.
That's right. All right. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 17. It's a story that Luke told us about Jesus and the 10 lepers. If you'd like to, there are Bibles like this under the chairs in front of you. If you want to use this Bible, it's on page 629 of this Bible. You may have your own Bible. You may have a Bible app on your phone or other device. Or if you want to, we're going to put it up here on the screen. You can follow along there. Or if you would like to, you can just sit back and I'm going to tell you the story that Luke told us about Jesus and the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." In Jesus' day, leprosy was a big deal. It was a very big deal, and it was a very bad deal. Leprosy is a chronic infectious disease that causes skin lesions and nerve damage. It wasn't until the mid-20th century that effective cures for leprosy were discovered. But in Jesus' day, there were no cures, and the consequences were devastating. Physically, symptoms include joint pain and decreased sensation to touch, but without question, the most obvious physical manifestation of leprosy is what it does to the skin. It causes blisters and ulcers and rashes. It produces these growths or nodules on the skin, patches of rough, discolored skin. If left untreated, it can result in the loss of fingers and toes. It is grotesque and it is painful. Without question, the physical effects of leprosy are disfiguring, they are debilitating, and they are demoralizing. But that was just the beginning. Jewish life at that time was governed primarily by the Mosaic Law, which is another name for the Law of Moses. It's called the Mosaic Law or the Law of Moses because it's contained in the books of the Bible that Moses wrote, the first 5 books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If we think about the Mosaic Law today, we might think about the 10 Commandments, which would be appropriate. The 10 Commandments are part of the Mosaic Law. But there was so much more. All told, there are some 613 commandments or rules or laws that make up the Mosaic Law. A significant number of those involve a distinction between things that are clean and things that are unclean. As a general rule, clean is good, unclean is bad. If someone or something was clean, you could be around it or touch it, or if it was food, you could eat it. Conversely, if someone or something was unclean, a dead animal, certain kinds of food, not only were you prohibited from having anything to do with it, but if you did, then you would be unclean as well. Not surprisingly, anybody who had a condition like leprosy was considered unclean. So that meant that unless you wanted to be unclean too, you couldn't have anything to do with a leper. So when someone contracted leprosy in Jesus' day, they were immediately forced to leave their homes. They were forced to leave their families and communities. They were forced to leave their villages. They were cast out. They were cut off. They were ostracized, and they were stigmatized. If they were lucky, they would find other lepers with whom to live in community, in leper colonies, away from everything and everyone that mattered to them. Because of their status, if they were ever around other people, they were required to shout out, "Unclean, unclean." Sometimes they were required to wear these bells or clappers to warn of their approach. So when Luke tells us that when Jesus entered the village, the 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, we understand why. But as horrible as they looked, as horrible as they felt, as difficult as it must have been to be socially outcast, to be separated from everything and everyone that mattered to them, there was something worse. Because they were unclean, they weren't allowed to go to the temple. At that time, the temple was the connection to God. So they weren't allowed to go to the temple to pray. They weren't allowed to go to the temple to worship. They weren't allowed to go to the temple as required by the Mosaic law to offer sacrifices for the forgiveness of their sins. Can you imagine how they must have felt? Helpless and unable to do anything about it. Without home, without hope. So we understand that when they saw Jesus, they cried out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And then in verse 14, Luke tells us two very important things. The beginning of verse 14, he tells us that Jesus looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priests." Well, that seems like kind of an unusual thing to say if you're healing someone, doesn't it? Well, maybe to us, but not to them. Because you see, they, like Jesus, would have been familiar with the Mosaic law. And they knew then that in Leviticus 14, there are very detailed instructions for how to proceed when someone is cleansed of a skin disease like leprosy. In sum, they're required to go to the priest, who then performs what's called a purification ceremony. Now, this ceremony would last for a number of days. It involved live birds and lambs and shaved heads and lots of baths. But at the end of this purification ceremony, the priest would then declare that person ceremonially clean. Clean is good, unclean is bad. And then there's a second thing in verse 14, the last part of verse 14. And some of you have already picked up on this, but this is something that Luke obviously doesn't want us to miss. He said that as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Well, if they were cleansed as they went, that means they were cleansed before they got to the priest, before they went through the purification ceremony. Here's what Luke wants us to know. They weren't cleansed by the priest. They weren't cleansed by the rituals and sacrifices of the purification ceremony. It wasn't anything that they did or anything that they deserved. They were healed by Jesus, and only Jesus. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. And he is the only one who can. So when Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest, they knew exactly what that meant. They knew it meant that they were going home again to be reunited with their family and friends. They knew that it meant that their pain was going to be replaced by peace, that rejection was going to be replaced by acceptance, that he was turning their shame into his glory. And they knew that it meant that they would be able to worship God as they had before. Can you imagine how that must have felt? Jesus cleansed them, he healed them, he made them whole again. He restored them, and he reconciled them to the Father. And then Luke tells us that one of them, only one, came back to Jesus to thank him and to glorify God. Gratitude. So, what do you think?
So do you think the other nine weren't grateful at all?
Surely they were, right? Surely they were, but we don't know. That's the problem. We don't know because they didn't express their gratitude. They didn't say anything.
So what I hear you saying is that sometimes we can say things without saying it. I know as a mom, I can say things without saying it. But in this case, and in our case, a lot of times, if we don't express gratitude, then we're really expressing ingratitude.
Yeah, I suspect we've all experienced that at some time or another when we've done something for someone or given something to someone, and whether we really expected anything in return or not, their silence often can be interpreted as ingratitude, as an ungrateful heart.
So why do you think they didn't express it?
That's a great question. I'm sure that they were focused on getting to the priest because they knew once they got to the priest and they were declared clean, they could go back to their family and friends. Those aren't bad things that they were doing, like us sometimes. It weren't bad things, but they just seemed to be focused on their own agenda. And you would think, though, that after all that Jesus did for them, that they would have said something.
So what I'm hearing you say is that they're a lot like us.
At times, it seems that's our situation as well. Do you think it's possible that maybe they didn't understand the magnitude of what Jesus did for them?
I think they understood the magnitude, but in reading it, it seems like that almost immediately their focus shifted from the giver to the gift and then ultimately to themselves.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think there's something else that's going on here too. I think a major obstacle a lot of times in expressing gratitude and experiencing the full blessings of God is our pride. And sometimes that's what keeps us from saying thank you.
Yeah, I think so too. And because being grateful is humbling. I mean, you're saying someone else helped you to get to where you are.
I suspect if we all took just a few minutes and humbled ourselves, we would very easily come up with a long list of people to whom we owe a debt of gratitude. The question is whether or not we're ever going to express that to them.
So are we more like the one, or are we more like the nine?
Great question for us to all think about. Being thankful is important. There's something else about being thankful we'd like to talk about. Being thankful is good for you. Who knew, right? Well, a lot of really smart people knew, and they've been trying to tell us, I think. People like Kevin, who's told us several times about this, all this physiological stuff that goes on whenever we express gratitude. As I understand it, the way Kevin has explained it previously, there is a region in our brain called the hypothalamus. Controls a whole lot of things. And when we express gratitude, that hypothalamus region gets these increased hits of dopamine, which is a good thing. It's like good vibrations going to your brain. And when good vibrations go to your brain, that makes for a happy brain and a healthy brain, and that makes for a lot of good things that happen. So we actually found out not too long ago that Psychology Today had published an article a few years ago that compiled a whole bunch of different independent studies, and they listed then 7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude, and we'd like to share those with you.
Yeah, the first one says that gratitude, if we practice it regularly, that it opens doors to more relationships. Whether you're just opening a door for a stranger or you're writing a thank you note, that opens the door for you to have more friendships.
Yes. Number 2, gratitude improves physical health. You ever think about that? Gratitude improves physical health. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains and report feeling healthier than other people. Not surprisingly, and this is according to a 2012 study in personality and individual differences, not surprisingly, grateful people are also much more likely to take care of their health. They're more likely to exercise, more likely to attend regular checkups, which is obviously contributes to further longevity.
The third proven benefit is that it improves psychological health as well. It reduces a multitude of toxic emotions from envy and resentment to frustration and regret, and it increases happiness and reduces depression.
Yeah, number 4, gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Grateful people are more likely to behave in a pro-social manner. That's good. Even when others behave less kindly, according to a 2012 study by the University of Kentucky, go Big Blue. Yeah, thank you. That's an amen. All right, study participants who ranked higher on gratitude scales were less likely to retaliate against others, even when given negative feedback. They experienced more sensitivity and empathy toward other people and a decreased desire to seek revenge.
Number 5 is probably my favorite. Grateful people sleep better. Who knew? There was a 2011 study that was published in Applied Psychology, and basically they were saying that if you just took 15 minutes just jotting down before you went to bed just a few thoughts, grateful thoughts, then you will sleep better and longer.
Yeah, number 6, gratitude improves self-esteem. A 2014 study published in the Journal of Applied Sports Psychology found that gratitude increased athletes' self-esteem, an essential component to optimal performance. Other studies have shown that gratitude reduces social comparisons. Rather than becoming resentful toward people who have money or better jobs, which is a major factor in reduced self-esteem, grateful people are able to appreciate other people's accomplishments.
And the last one says that gratitude increases mental strength. In a 2006 study, it showed that Vietnam veterans that had higher levels of gratitude, they experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. And then in a 2003 study found that gratitude was a major contributor to resilience following the 9/11 attacks. So gratitude, even in the worst times, can foster resilience.
Now, being thankful is important, and being thankful is good for you.
So what we'd like to do is to give you some practical ways to do this. Now, one was already mentioned, maybe just to do a gratitude journal before you go to bed at night. But I wanted to share a little bit about something that helped me a lot in my prayer life, and it was this pastor by the name of Peter Lord. Peter Lord was very practical in the way he taught, and one of his quotes is my favorite. He says that what we practice is what we truly believe, and that all the rest is just religious talk. And he had a big impact on my prayer life, and one of the areas in our prayer life is when we thank the Lord. So he said that there were at least four things that we could thank the Lord for every day. We can thank him for a material thing, a physical thing, a spiritual thing, and a person. And that was what he practiced in his life. And so I'd like to just give you some examples of how he did that. So the first thing, a material thing. This is what Peter Lord said. He was thankful for dirty dishes. I don't know about you all, but I hadn't thanked the Lord for that in quite some time. Dirty dishes. But this is what he said. Lord, I thank you that I have dirty dishes, because that meant that there was food on those dishes. And if there's a lot of dishes, then that meant I had some friends to eat it with, or had some family to eat it with. So, Lord, I thank you for dirty dishes. The second thing is a physical thing that we can mention to the Lord. And I'd like to borrow the words of a good friend of mine. Her name is Donna Jury, and some of you all may remember Donna and her husband, Jim, when they lived here. Our older daughter, Abby, was close to the same age as their twins. Donna was involved very much at Hillcrest when they started MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. And she talked about the first time she was matched up with an older mom. And the first thing they had to do was to tell something physical about themselves that they liked. And Donna was kind of overwhelmed, didn't want to say anything, but she still, to this day, and this is decades later, she remembers what this woman said. This is what she said, the older mom. She said the body part that she was most thankful for were her hands, because her hands had been used to serve other people, to prepare meals, to hold her babies and her grandchildren. It seems she went on to more specific things like changing diapers and wiping away tears. The list is endless, but I just remember how my attitude of my body insecurity was totally corrected by her thankful heart. Now, these hands, Mike, I'm going to get you to show them one more time. These hands are pretty special to us, too. These hands belong to Marilyn Rowlett, the mother of our Janie Rowlett Pitts. So we're still reaping the blessings from her giving even years ago today. The third thing that he said that we could thank the Lord for is a spiritual thing. And I picked this picture of myself. I think maybe I picked it because that was one of the 5 years in my life that I was skinny. I think that's why I picked it. Not really. The reason why I picked that picture is that it's 2 years after my accident. And if I could have a caption that went with it, it would be healing. Now, I'm sitting in a wheelchair. I mean, I'm still sitting in a wheelchair. But if you look closely at that picture, you'll see the healing. It happened in my heart, it happened in my mind, and it happened in my soul. And it was easy to express. So I'm grateful for that spiritual blessing. The fourth thing that he suggested, Peter Lord suggested, was to name a person. And so I picked this person who's just recently come into my life a little bit more. His name is Trushon Matt. Anita, I know you love True, too. So True was here during the first service. True is, you just fall in love with him. You can just look at that face very easily. True, Coach Self here, and I think other coaches say this, too, but there are two things that you can control, and that is your attitude and your effort. And no one has a better attitude than true, and no one gives more effort than true. The thing that I like most about him is his ability to tell a story. I mean, the boy can tell a story. And sometime if you're around him, just ask him about when the dog bit him and how he bit the dog back. You know, it's a great, great story. So those are just four practical things that you can thank the Lord for every day. You know, being thankful is important. Being thankful is good for you. And sometimes being thankful can actually change your perspective on things. It was years ago, I don't remember how many, it was before Kroger Click List and before Walmart Pickup. It was when you would go to the store and you'd get a grocery cart and you'd pile it up. Well, I don't do that as much as I used to, but I remember it was during December, close to Christmas, and it was a Saturday. And going to Kroger was the last place that I wanted to be, but it was on my list of errands. So I remember I got there, I went inside, I grabbed the cart like I always did, and I just began pushing the cart. And so I had this great system. I would push the outer loop of the grocery store, and I would park at each aisle that I needed something down that aisle. I'd park my cart there, I would go down the aisle, pile it up on my lap, go back, put it back in the cart. So as I'm rounding the corner over in the produce, I notice this older gentleman standing there. He's just standing there drinking coffee. And he looks at me and he goes, ma'am, I'd like to help you. You know, could I help you? Could I push that for you? I'd really like to do that. And I said, oh, I appreciate it. I really do. But I'm kind of a hurry today, and I'm just going to give you a few things, but thank you. I really appreciate it. So I went on. I got to the first aisle, stopped the cart, went down. And when I came back to the cart, there's a little man standing there. I really, you know, really would like to help you. And I said, oh, that's okay. You know, if my kids would have been here, you know, it'd been like herding cats, I sure could have used your help then, but I'm okay. And so I finally went further down, and I think I kind of shooed him away. And I got to maybe the next last aisle. And as I went down the aisle, I looked up, and there was something I couldn't reach. And I thought, I'm going to go get that little man. So I went out and I grabbed him and I just said, hey, there's something I can't reach. Can you help me? So he quickly came, followed me, went down the aisle, got the item, went back, put it in my cart, and took over my cart. I wasn't getting rid of him then. And he just continued to talk to me, and I was talking back to him, I guess because I'd said I had children. Then he showed me pictures of his grandchildren, and you know, we just finished up the shopping trip, and I thanked him when I got to the checkout, and then we went our separate ways. I remember when I got outside and everything was loaded up in the back, I picked up my list when I was in the van, in the driver's seat. I picked up my list, and I looked at it, and I just thought, oh, when I saw the time, I'm way behind. So I put my head back, and then I heard a knock at the window. Yeah, it was a little man. And so I rolled down the window, and he reached out his hand inside, and he said, I want to thank you for letting me help you today. He said, you know, my wife died a few months ago, and I don't get out very much, but on Saturdays, I go to the laundromat, and I drop my clothes off, and then I come over here, and I drink the free coffee, and I look to see if there's somebody I can help. Most people don't want an old man's help, but you let me help you. Thank you. Gratitude. It changed my perspective.
Being thankful is important. Being thankful is good for you, but there's something else. There's something more. Even I believe that the Bible is not just a collection of stories. We believe that it is a divinely woven tapestry that reveals to us the nature and the character of God, and ultimately points us to Jesus Christ. So when we hear a story or read a story like Jesus and the 10 lepers, we think it's important to ask, what should we really get out of this? What is God trying to tell us through this story? What's the main point of this story? Obviously, as we read the story or hear the story of Jesus and the 10 lepers, it's about so much more than the devastating effects of leprosy. It's about more than the details of an Old Testament purification ceremony. And as important as gratitude is, and as much as we can learn about gratitude from this passage, there's something else. There's something more. We believe the main point of this story is simply this, that what Jesus did for the lepers, he can do for you. He can cleanse you. He can heal you. He can make you whole again. He can restore you, and he can reconcile you to the Father.
And maybe you're here today and you've never been reconciled to the Father. Well, this is an opportunity. You know, you can look at the lepers and you say, well, I haven't experienced that. But you could be like them in that maybe you've experienced the pain, the rejection, the loneliness, maybe the helplessness, maybe the hopelessness. Maybe you're experiencing that. And you know you need to do something, but you know you can't do it yourself. I want to reiterate what Andrew just said, what Jesus did for the lepers, he can do for you. And it could be that pride is keeping you from doing that. Being humble is the way to get to the healing. The pathway to wholeness, the pathway to healing, is having a humble heart and simply asking Jesus for help. Because what Jesus did for the lepers, he can do for you.
And many of you are here this morning and you know that, or watching online and you know that. You know that what Jesus did for the lepers, he can do for you because he's already done it for you. He has cleansed you and healed you and restored you and reconciled you to the Father. But for some of us, sometimes there's still something missing. Do you remember what Jesus said to the man who came back and thanked him? He said, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Some translations say, your faith has made you whole. The word for healed or made you whole there means to make whole or complete. Here's the problem. It was a problem for the nine. It was a problem for us sometimes. Simply feeling gratitude does not complete the healing. It does not complete the blessing. Expressing gratitude does. So when we fail to express gratitude, we leave our healing and our blessing incomplete. Well, you might say, what does that matter? Weren't all 10 cleansed of their leprosy? Didn't all 10 get to go back home? So here's the question. The question is, what did the one who expressed his gratitude experience that the other nine did not? Intimacy with Jesus. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. When we return to Jesus and express our gratitude for what he has done for us, not only is our healing and our blessing complete, it allows us the opportunity to spend intimate time with him. And nothing is better than Jesus. And that brings us to our final thought today. There is no better place to be than at the feet of Jesus. Let's pray.
Lord, that's where we come right now, at your feet, thanking you for what you have done and are continuing to do in our lives. Lord, I know that even as we've been going through this message, that there are people that have come to our minds that we need to say thank you to. And I pray, Lord, that you would burn it on our hearts to do something about that. I pray especially for those who don't know you, Lord, that even today, that they would ask you for help and they would be able to thank you, Lord, for making them whole. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and all that you want to be in our lives. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen.
Amen.